Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches,
as well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode. For this week's podcast, we spoke to New Balance athlete Izzy Boffey. Fresh off a new PB over 800 metres of 159 in Madrid, the Birmingham-based athlete told us about her prep for Budapest and much more. Enjoy. Okay, Izzy, first off, just welcome to the podcast. Great to have you on and congrats from us because you've just been selected for Budapest.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm really happy to have got the selection. Happy to be here.
Yeah. How the emotions been kind of the last week or so? Because I guess it was kind of been a bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I knew I was doing Madrid for quite a while and, I knew I was capable of running that time, but just sort of hadn't put the race together. Like, I hadn't executed the race plan very well, like, so far in the season. And, you know, I think there was obviously less pressure going into that race because, you know, I hadn't thought I'd done super well in British Champs. So I was just like, you know, try and ride out the rest of the season. There's that Olympic qualifying time to get, you know, so many things. I knew it was coming, but was obviously, I mean, I don't know whether you've seen my reaction. I was over the moon when it actually happened, and then it's just sort of been like I've been on a bit of an adrenaline high ever since, which has been really, really nice.
Absolutely, we were just talking off air. Like, when did you find out? Are you going to be selected for World Championships?
Yeah, so selection happened on Monday. So I got a call on Monday afternoon. The selection policy, you know, there's been so much controversy around the selection policy this year, but I wasn't really sure whether I even had a shot at it at all after running that time on the weekend. But you know, they made it very clear that they were like, oh yeah, we want to take you, and I was like, oh, that wasn't what I was expecting you to say. I was very, very happy.
Oh, that's brilliant. Do you think, I mean, obviously you've had super junior success, like you've performed at kind of major championships as a junior. Do you think that had anything to do with like reasons why they would maybe want to take you?
I'd say like, obviously I've never done like a major outdoor championships before. This is like outside of the like junior, even on a 23 side of things. So, I like to think hopefully that would have made a difference. You know, I can show I can perform, I can do the three rounds and things like that, which is good. And it's always like an honor to be on that GB team in the first place. So I like to think that's the whole like previous championship experience coming in. But I mean, this is my second year as a senior, first year sort of full-time athlete. So like, you know, it's sort of like just ticking all the boxes, moving up slowly sort of towards the Olympics, I suppose.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think we've seen quite a really nice progression from you, and you maybe haven't made like massive jumps, but every year you seem to be chipping away and making sure you're making teams at your kind of own age group. And now obviously that senior one is great to make. Let's chat about the race in Madrid, because I think you'd run 2 flat 5 times this year, indoors and outdoors. Have you gotten to kind of doubt it at all, or was it sort of like it will come eventually?
I think like a lot of those races, like, you know, Luke and I like would speak afterwards and be like, this is what I did wrong. Like, this is the move that I didn't make, which meant that I then couldn't go with that front group who did run 159, or, you know, or there was races where like I was by myself at the front and like I was front running it. Like, there was sort of like loads of different reasons as to why, you know, it didn't come together in those races. And at the end of the day, like, I'm so glad that all happened, because, you know, it's like, for example, like one of my races in Germany, I got really boxed in at the back, and then you know, learned from that. And then when in my Madrid race, made sure like I was moving on the outside, had a bit more space. And then obviously that led to running sub two. So yeah, no, I'm very aware that I've run 2:00 so many times, but I've never sort of come off any of those races feeling like I had given it like absolutely everything I had. And I kind of always knew that there was something else sort of coming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Madrid itself was like a great comp. I'd, you know, had it lined up for a couple of weeks. So I knew I was sort of doing it. I was somewhat aware that it was within the selection time. Obviously there was always that hope that I'd maybe get into London Diamond League, but you know, if you'd seen the start list beforehand, it was absolutely stacked. So it was something that was going to be difficult for me to get into, having not run sub two that year already. You know, there's so many athletes trying to get in, British athletes especially trying to get into that race. So it was very difficult. So I was glad I had Madrid as like another race for me to do that was like inside the qualifying period.
You're right. It is such fine margins, especially in 800 running, to kind of get those 0.5s of a second that you're looking for. Do you think you're a better runner when you're racing for the win, though? Obviously, in Madrid, dominated.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I just think like it really depends on what you're like as a runner. There are some people who can just, you know, run against themselves, like run against like a time. And you know, I personally have a decent history of being a championship performer. So I just think that sometimes, you know, yeah, physically I'm capable of running that time, but mindset wise, I just needed to be in that like you're going for the win mindset, like, and that just sort of, you know, urges your body physically on a little bit more, and that just kind of works better for me. But yeah, going for the win is definitely the way forward.
What makes a championship performer? Like, we throw that word around so much. We're like, so-and-so is a championship performer, so-and-so is a time trialist. What do you think the key difference is then for someone like yourself? Like, why are you a championship performer?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, looking at like previous years and stuff, a lot of my like big PBs or like big jumps sort of in PBs of like decent times sort of, you know, have all come from championship races. You know, when I did under 20s, for example, I did sub 2:02 for the first time and I was so shocked after the race. You know, it was crazy, but it's just a completely different thing. You know, when you're doing a, I don't know, like bronze meet or, you know, a BMC, at the end of the day, you are kind of going for the time. You know, that's part of running. Obviously, for me, it's different for jumping and throwing and stuff. But part of the competition is you need a qualifying time for something. So whereas like when you're in a championships, it's like, well, I've got here now. I've got the time. You know, I deserve to be here. I'm good enough to be here. Now is the time to sort of get your head more in a mindset of like, okay, well, I've got to go into every race going for the win. And it's just a completely different experience, to be honest. You know, with Madrid, for example, I flew in, got there at 9 p.m. the night before, and had left at 8 a.m. the next day after the race. So I was there for like a day, basically.
Didn't see much in Madrid then.
Yeah, I didn't see much in Madrid. And you know, the race was so late that like I happened to be room with Sarah McDonald, and we were still up at like 2:00 in the morning, just like having finished dinner and showering and doing what you do have to do after a race. So yeah, no, it's definitely a very different experience, and it's just a different, you just go in with a completely different mindset. It just means more at a championship, I definitely think.
And I suppose in a championship, are you able just to cope, you're someone who's able to cope with more variables, like more race variables, you know, how the race,
yeah, definitely, you know, tactically like different things can happen in the champs, because you know, you like with the fast losers and stuff like that. It's definitely, yeah, it's just definitely something I've always naturally been pretty good at. And then I think we've just sort of, Luke is very good at taking my, you know, the things I'm good at and being like, right, this is your strengths, let's not neglect this. Just because it's something you're good at doesn't mean that you like just have to leave it and not work on it. It's something that he really, really pushes me to continue to work on and stuff. So, you know, he's always like challenging me, and I really feel like I've really come on in the past few years working with him tactically. And obviously I that was coming off the back of like already being a decent championship performer. So either way, it's kind of just going well.
Yeah, we'll talk about kind of your relationship with Luke and kind of the things you do at Birmingham in a bit more detail later. But you mentioned sort of being like a natural championship racer, and it's something you've always been good at. Where do you think that kind of comes from, though? Because obviously, we've seen you perform well at English schools, Euro juniors. Where does that come from, that ability to perform through the age groups and then continue to go on?
Yeah, I mean, the first age group champs I did, I was 16. I think the junior and the youth champs are really like a really good stepping stone to doing the major champs. It really gets used to like just the process of everything because it can be really daunting as like a young person going into those champs, having not really understand how a team works, not really understand how the process works and stuff. But when I did it when I was 16, I had zero expectations. I just went in like, oh my God, this is so much fun, like I'm competing for my country. Wow, this is so amazing. Like, I didn't even know at the trials, I wasn't really aware that by winning the trials meant I could go. And I was like, oh, this is so great. But yeah, and then like sort of, that was the mindset I had then. And then as the years went on, there's more and more sort of expectations, I guess. I mean, I haven't got it right every time, There's like British champs, European indoors this year, where like my performance just wasn't, well, for so many reasons, just wasn't up to par. I definitely don't get it right every time. But yeah, I just think it comes from like confidence and training and the environment that you've been in, and like, having a really good setup going into a champs just gives you so much confidence. I've always been quite lucky in the sense that like I've had qualifying times and stuff. Like chasing qualifying times is a really mentally draining process, definitely. And so like going into champs, like feeling really confident, being like, I've run this time multiple times, like I deserve to be here, like I am really good at this sport, I'm at the world championships, I'm at, this level above everyone else. Yeah, and then you just, it's a difficult thing to subscribe, I suppose, but it's just a whole combination of stuff, I guess.
Have you ever felt pressure, especially through the ages and obviously whilst at Birmingham as well? I suspect you've always been someone that people look up to and are like, oh, Izzy's going to take to the track, she's going to go and win, because you pretty much have won a major, whether it be a junior under 23s, English schools, you have won something pretty much every year. And I know now you're in that kind of transition to a senior, but how have you managed to turn out every single year? Like, have you ever had an injury?
Yeah, my first major injury, I'd say, like, was actually the 2019-2020 season, which was COVID. So no one really saw it. I did British champs, the British champs, and it was in September.
All right, yeah, end of the
Yeah, and
season,
I'd
end of
done
September.
that ahead of the Worlds that was really late in Doha. And I came off that, and I've done something really bad. I was like limping off the track, sort of thing. And yeah, I had like a inflamed fat pad in my knee. It was on the futures program, so I was able to sort of get that diagnosed really quickly and stuff. But it's just something that I couldn't shift. I was doing a lot of biking, a lot of like gym. I got really strong, was able to come back and do the Bucks 400, and just sort of run really off like strength rather than like running fitness, which was great. And then obviously COVID happened, so like no one really had an opportunity to see where like my lack of fitness, I suppose, when it came to running, would have put me. And then obviously I was able to train all throughout COVID. Well, as much as you could train, like you couldn't really get access to the track and stuff. But then races didn't happen again until September. So I sort of had that winter base in April and May that like most people have done in December sort of time. So yeah, that was the only like major injury I've had. I, manage a lot of niggles as everyone does. But major injuries, no, I've been very lucky and
Wow.
have a very good sort of like strength base that kind of means I'm not injury prone.
I was gonna say, do you think there's a particular reason for that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm definitely built differently to your average distance runner. Like I'm a very power based athlete, definitely, and that reflects in the way I train, and being a bit more of a 4:8 runner than a 15 runner. 15's a bit too far for me at the moment. I'm sure it's something that Luke would love to make me do. But yeah, I definitely think like that, having that like strength base probably helps in the bone injuries type side of things. Obviously means I'm maybe more susceptible to like muscle tears and stuff like that, running a little bit faster, but it's something that like a bit more manageable, maybe a bit doesn't sneak up on you as much. But yeah, it's probably just I don't run as far as everyone else as well. I guess I'm just making guesses here, but like I don't do as many miles as most people because a lot of my like running, I like cross train a lot and things like that. So yeah, that probably makes a difference, but I'm not 100% sure, of course.
Yeah, can you talk us through some of that then? Can we like chat through a typical training week?
Definitely. I've got a pretty good setup now. I gym twice a week here in Birmingham. I'm doing 3 sessions a week, which some people are like, oh, that's a lot of sessions. But then my tempo is sort of a bit different to most people. I don't do a really long tempo. I do like sets of 200s and stuff, which is something that we've only introduced this year, which has been like really game changing for me. I do like in the winter, we do a lot of like grass based sessions and things like that. And then I sort of do probably like up to a 7 mile long run in midweek, and then maybe 2 30-minute runs alongside, like I'd probably double day with cross training and things like that, or like shorter 20-minute runs. That's sort of like, obviously that's all sort of in the winter. It's really like flexible in the summer. Like it's very much like 8 sessions, really quick stuff. A lot of like sprinting I've been doing recently, which has been really great. But yeah, like it's I wouldn't say it's much different to what, you know, like your general week can sort of be. But I'm obviously, being in the university setup, we follow sort of their like weekly cycle a little bit. So with sessions, it's like Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, rather than like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, which a lot of people do, to like sort of match the university schedule, which works for me, definitely. It's great actually doing a Wednesday session, and then obviously if you have a race on Saturday, it's a good time scale and stuff. And then I gym on like Mondays and Thursdays and sort of like run in between and things like that.
Talk about these 200s then. So instead of doing 3x5 minute tempo, you'll do, I don't know, 20 200s off a short recovery, I take it.
Yeah, so we do like it's slightly faster than like, I don't know, your average tempo, but
yeah,
we do like, I don't know, sets of 10 200s or 20 to 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps your heart rate up, you know, you're jogging in between. Heart rate is sort of around tempo zones the whole time. Mm-hmm. Works better for me, means that like I can run with a good technique. Mm-hmm. I can run with, you know, without sort of, I don't know. It's for me, like being an 8.4 runner, like 6 minutes of tempo, it's a long way. which sounds really silly, because it's obviously meant to be tempo. It's meant to be that like zone that you can keep that like constant pace without getting like super, super lactic or tired and stuff. But for me, the 200s have been working really well, and it's something that you know, Luke has brought in, and it's been a hit, really. A lot of our guys, 4.8 runners, kind of do it now, which is, it's been a really great change for me. But yeah,
that's an interesting take. I'd agree with that, because your running economy when you're running for 6 minutes probably is nowhere near as good as when you're running for, you know, 30 or 40 seconds or so. You know, one thing I want to talk to you a little bit about is your progression over the years. It's been very, very linear, and obviously you've seen the likes of Keely, who is virtually the same age. Was she a year younger than you?
Two years younger than me, maybe.
And you know, she's obviously right at the top now, where you want to be. Has it frustrated you in a way that you've just been kind of very, very gradual? Or do you see it as like a really positive thing that each year you actually have improved?
Yeah, I mean, Luke and I actually had a discussion about this the other day. It's crazy how much I haven't done, in the sense of like, you know, progression. I think in terms of like injuries and stuff, like I'm really not super major injury prone or anything. And I think that's like largely, that could be largely to do with like the very gradual progression we've had. I've done so much this year, being my first time completely full-time, not being a student. It's been a big jump, but like it's been, I mean, game changing. I've had 2 second PB. I feel like I can go faster. It's just, yeah, it's, I think it's, I see it as a really positive thing. There's so much more that I can give. You know, athletics careers don't last forever, but you know, I know that I'm sort of keep going up. I'm 23. I've got so many years left in the game. You know, there's like potentially like three more Olympics that I could compete at. And yeah, no, I definitely see it as positive. And I love the fact that I have so many more things that I can like add to my program, add to my training, add to my lifestyle that will make me be a better athlete and run faster ultimately and kind of get to the top eventually.
For sure. You obviously, like you mentioned, you're full time now, but you've decided to stay in Birmingham where you went to uni. Let's kind of rewind and chat about when you actually decided to go to Birmingham in the first place, because I think particularly for athletes like yourself who have junior success, that decision of where to study for university is really important. Like, what kind of drove that?
Yeah, definitely. So I was coming from a scenario where I was looking for a coach as well as a university trainer. Obviously, it was very important for me, you know, that the university had a good athletic space. But also, I am decently academic. I did biomedicine. And so, you know, it was a tough course. So I was obviously looking for a little bit of a combination. But I mean, as an 18-year-old, my priority was athletics, much like, you know, I was trying to find somewhere to work and train. And yeah, I think it was a bit of a weird one because I just came to Birmingham and absolutely loved it. I loved the campus. I loved, like, Luke was there at the open day to chat to, and like we asked him loads of questions, and there was loads of students there at the time. It also happened that loads of, like, for some reason in my year, loads of, like, I know, I'd say 8-15 girls all happened to be looking at Birmingham at the same time, which was like, so like, I think our cohort was a massive intake into the university group, which was great because then it meant that, you know, if I'd say, oh, I'm looking at Birmingham, and you know, at the time Emily Thompson and Cheska Brint would go, oh my god, same, I think I'm gonna go there. And it was very much like a big group of us all going there at the same time, which was definitely an incentive. Luke obviously offered to be my coach, which was great because you know, I knew who he was, and you know, Hannah England was there training still and stuff like that. So I knew I was always going into a great group. I, you know, come from a training setup that was sort of like breaking down slowly, but like super grateful to my old coach as well. And I was like ready for change, I think, definitely. So that made it a lot easier. I know that Luke and Dean, who run the athletics endurance side here, really are really good at working with home coaches. They definitely have a good setup for all of that, but obviously at the end of the day, it's going to be easier having your coach around here all the time. So that was definitely like a big factor, just sort of new coach, new setup. Absolutely loved the uni academically, and the brand new track and the brand new sports and fitness center, which had pretty much just been built as I'd arriving. It was sort of like a tick 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 ticking in all the boxes and stuff.
Good. I mean, how's your relationship changed with Luke from when you were fresher then to now?
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know. I guess, like, a lot of, I was one of his, I don't know how many 800 meter runners he'd coached before me. But, you know, he was brilliant with me. Like, he, you know, set me up with all the S&C and all the physio. It was really good, like, integrating me into the whole, like, scholarship program they had here, which was so great. But, like, I look back on it and I'm like, I can't believe I just sort of went from running four sessions a week to, like, being thrown into all this stuff, and it just, like, went so seamlessly. But, yeah, no, I mean, we're great friends as well as having like that professional relationship of being a coach and athlete. You know, I'm super close to his wife Hannah as well, because she trained with us for a year. She only retired in 2019, so that's really nice as well. There's a little, you know, pair of them. Hannah works as like a mentor for the talent hub that we've got here and stuff, so it works really well. And yeah, no, Luke's great. He really encourages me just to be like the best athlete I can possibly be, which is just, he knows what I'm going through. He's been there, which is obviously great, but also has the knowledge from, you know, the whole team, like Bud Baldaro. He's got so much knowledge from him, the used to coach and stuff. And, you know, he's always coming in with fresh ideas and always involves me in the conversation as well, as I've sort of got older and a bit more mature. Yeah, we honestly have like the best relationship, and I couldn't have asked for a more seamless transition throughout the years.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point because I think university always offers so many new things, but often it can be too much for athletes. I think having someone there to guide you through integrating yourself with those is so important.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like we're really good. I mean, the scholarship, we have a talent hub based here, and then there's this whole scholarship process and stuff that we have at uni, but that's changed so much. Like from I've this is like my fifth year living in Birmingham now, going into my sixth, and it's changed so much over the years in terms of what they offer and stuff like that. But there's so many levels, which has just been great because it meant that sort of like a lot more athletes that necessarily, you know, aren't exactly making those GB teams, but are, you know, going for those finals at nationals and in the medal potential at the nationals and stuff, and maybe like doing the England teams and things like that, like they all get something, you know. So it's always been sort of like a sliding scale of sort of everything they can offer.
It was a nice progression. You mentioned Hannah England. I actually tapped her up for a few fun facts about you. So we'll get to that later on in the podcast. But no, talk about the impact of someone like her because, you know, yes, Luke's obviously your coach. He's a head coach. He's a very busy man at Birmingham. But to be able to kind of, I guess, work with Hannah as that mentor, didn't she go away on a few outdoor camps with you this year as well? If I'm
Yeah,
right in
honestly,
saying that.
yeah, it's a really great combination, to be honest. Like it's so brilliant having both of them there. Hannah came out to South Africa with Abby Ives and I when we went in April, which was like so great. Obviously, she talks to Luke every day, of course. So it was just a seamless communication with them. She knew exactly what he wanted us to be doing. She's well aware of what training brings, what camps bring. She's been there. She's a world championship medalist, that she knows what she's doing. So she's always there to give us advice if you know, we have a tricky session that we're like, oh, you know, I'm a bit tired today. Like, should I really be doing this? You know, she always has an answer to those questions and some advice to give, which is just, yeah, brilliant. She knows the outside of athletics things that not necessarily everyone talks about. You know, I think you hear a lot about, oh, what does your weekly training session look like? And actually, there's, you know, if I'm training anywhere between 2 hours a day, and then what do I do with the rest of the hours I'm awake? Like, you know, she's very aware that full time is a different ball game, and you have to fill that time with something. And it's really great to kind of have her advice around in sort of like that lifestyle aspect as well as the sort of running side of things.
So who's the funner of the two? It sounds like you like hanging out with Hannah a lot more.
Oh no, you're gonna start something. You can't do that to me. I can't choose.
I'm
I
only
have a
joking.
different favorite every day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, they're a brilliant pair. They
Yeah.
work very seamlessly together, but you know, in a coaching capacity and a personal capacity for me, definitely. I couldn't choose a favorite. That would be too much to ask.
Yeah, let's chat about that lifestyle aspect then, because obviously this year you mentioned you've gone full time, you've gone all in. What does that look like, and how have you handled, I guess, the free time that you've had?
You know, one of the benefits is being able to go on camp whenever we want. For me, camp is definitely a really big mental reset. You can kind of go away and ignore your emails for 3 weeks, which is something that I do, which is definitely really bad. And just sort of like live that complete professional lifestyle. You know, you go somewhere where you've got a physio, gym, track on your doorstep. And sort of all you're doing is relaxing, training, you know, getting that really high quality training in something like altitude or heat, where, like, you know, in the Britain it might be raining every day and freezing cold in the winter. So it's I love camps. So that's been definitely a big aspect of mine. I've gone on 3 camps this year, which is like been a brilliant game changer. I've been able to go on camps with people, other athletes, elite athletes that I might not necessarily, you know, be around all the time, which is really nice to sort of, you know, be with someone that has a similar mindset and has a similar lifestyle to you, and you're both sort of in it together. We're like, I'm a bit bored right now, or oh, I'm really tired, I need to nap every day, like sort of thing. So that was really nice. You just have time for all the extra little bits as well, you know, the good food, the rehab, the prehab, the, you know, can go and see a physio whenever they're free because I'm free all the time, sort of thing. So it works really well. You have so much time to do everything. I've really found actually like that I can fill my days so easily.
Right.
Something that I you know, at the moment, this is my first year, so I'm sure like 5 years in it might be a bit different, but I really can fill my days. There's always something that I can be doing, which is really, really nice. You know, competition season is a little bit more relaxed because, well, not relaxed, but you're not doing any double days and you might not necessarily be running as far, so there's a little bit more time. But obviously that also comes with competition season, so your body's going to be going through a bit more strain, so it's all right because you just have more time to rest. But yeah, I absolutely love it. Like I always say to people when they ask, well, I'm absolutely living my best life, but I'm doing something I love and as a job, and that is genuinely just the most amazing thing. And it might wear off eventually, you know, you never know, I might get bored, but at the moment I'm absolutely loving it.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make about you can always fill your days. So I take it you are, you know, you are doing a lot of 1% right now.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm an avid baker and I love to read, so there's always those things that you can fill your time with if, you know, mm-hmm. you don't have any of those little 1% to do. But definitely have time to do those extra circuit, a bit of ab training, bit of prehab. Like it's you know, if you are sitting around all day, you do have time to do that, so it just makes it a lot more easier, less time, less like draining to like do all those little extra bits.
Was it a scary decision to go all in, or was it one which just kind of almost fell into your lap? It was the natural progression for you. You didn't really think about any other option.
I have a lot of ambitions outside of running in terms of what I want to do with my career. I did biomedicine, so eventually want to sort of go into the, you know, working hospital medicine avenue. So that's always something that I've had in the back of my mind. Doing a master's, I was always going to take a year off in between my undergrad and my master's anyway.
Might be two now because of Paris.
Well, yeah, so I was always going to take a year off and then, you know, see how I liked it. I might be like, oh, I hate this, I need to be a student. But obviously I'm lucky to be sponsored by New Balance, so that in the financial aspect of things, like I am able to now take at least 2 years as a full-time athlete ahead of Paris. Obviously it's a big aim, it's a big year. I don't want to put the stress of doing another master's on my plate. I'm definitely going to be full-time until then. Athletics is a very year-by-year thing. You can have one injury that can put you out for over 18 months. You can have, you know, you can be injury-free for 10 years and you just never know. So it's something that like I'm always mindful of, definitely. But yeah, I mean, I'm in a position where I can go full time. I am able to do that, so I'm just doing it. Why not? I can't do this when I'm 35. So why would I not do it now?
Yeah, so that sounds like a great decision. That, yeah, you may as well crack on especially while you're running well as well. Keep running PBs, keep making things. Yeah. And why wouldn't you do it?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's been a great year, and I've progressed so much. So, like, I can't wait to get another year under my belt and see how much faster I can run.
Yeah, and I believe Matt found out what Hannah, you mentioned the reading there. Apparently you stay up through the night reading, and I guess it must impact on your recovery a little bit.
Oh no, Hannah's really done me dirty there. It's a very big interest of mine. I absolutely love reading. I've got bookshelves and bookshelves upon books. It's like I'm a really, really avid reader. And so is Hannah, so we chat about it all the time, which is really, really nice. But yeah, no, I have that is one of my bad habits I need to get rid of. I'm a really quick reader, so I can read a book in a day. It's a talent, but also a curse, because if I start a book at like 9 p.m, I will just finish it at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's something I don't do as much anymore, only every now and then. But yeah, it's just... not by thought, Hannah would tell you as a fun fact. But I love reading. It's one of my outside running passions, I suppose. Keeps me occupied for the day and I have a day off, so it works out quite well for me.
It's me, yeah. We're getting to know Izzy Boffy. I mean, could you put a number on how many books you've read? I think that's an incredible talent. You can read a book in a day or a matter of hours. Yeah.
Okay, so on camp, I was there for 3 weeks. So I probably read, and bear in mind, obviously, it's around training and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Probably read like 10 books, maybe.
Wow. How are you packing 10 books in your suitcase?
No. So I packed 4 and then I have Kindle. So
Okay,
you can
okay.
just like have as many books in your hand as possible, which makes a big difference because like I can't pack in 10 books. That would be ridiculous. But yeah, so no, I do read a lot. I read a lot, and I can read very quickly.
You are one of the few people who uses a Kindle.
Yeah, I mean, I much prefer. Oh, don't get me wrong, I much prefer physical books.
Right, yeah,
it's so much better, 100%, 10 times better than reading on a Kindle. But when you are on camp, you can't take 10 books with you, so you have to read a Kindle. And it just means that then I have access to books whenever I want, so I don't mind.
Do you have a favorite book? Like people have favorite films. Do you have a favorite book?
Yes, I do have a favorite book. There's a recent book that came out. It's just come out called Fourth Wing, which is a great book. I'm a really big like science fiction fantasy reader, and I would highly recommend if anyone like if their fantasy is not their thing, it's a really good like introduction into fantasy. And then also like A Course of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, which actually quite a lot of people have read. I've spoken about it to like Adam Jamini before, and Hannah's read it and stuff like that. So yeah, those are my favourites.
There you go, Lum. Yeah. You can get stuck into those, Ollie.
Well, because you struggle too, Matt. Yeah.
I'll wait for the film. I'll wait for the film, Izzy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, look, what's training going to look like between now and Budapest then? Because obviously, you know you're going. Are you going on a holding camp? I know some people are already out there.
Yeah, I think some people are out in St. Moritz at the moment, but I think we decided not to go to altitude ahead of champs. To be honest, after British champs, I wasn't really like in the headspace. Oh, I could be going to world still. Like I was. So we'd got in to do a burn, a 1K in burn next week, and we had like you know I was going to do a Watford gold and Trafford and stuff like that. So that's all kind of out the window now. And there's a holding camp. Go out like a week before Budapest begins, which is on the 19th, and then we'll head up to Budapest for a week. Our races are. Nicely spaced. I think it's the 23rd, 25th, and 28th. So I'll be there. I'll be in Budapest a few days before the actual competition. My competition starts, but I'll be in a holding camp for at least a week before that.
Mm. And so you won't be racing that Burn 1K then?
At the moment, I'm still racing it. Yeah, just because it'll be a bit of fun. Yeah, I definitely think it's still, you know. You know, still like three weeks out from the actual World Champs first heats and stuff. So the plan is to still run that, yeah, at the moment.
Oh, okay, that's cool. When is that?
That's next Friday, 4th of, yeah, I think it's a 1K. So it's something a bit different, something a bit more fun, which I think I need at the moment, just something a bit different and, getting there. I think it'll be quite a good race. I'm not sure who's doing it at the moment, but obviously it's one of the only sort of like meets bronze, I think it's a bronze meet or a silver meet before ahead of Worlds. So I think a lot of people will be there, which will be really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And any like, I guess it's hard, isn't it? Do you have expectations on yourself going into Budapest?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely haven't thought loads about this. You know, it's something that Luke and I will probably chat about it like a week or two out, just because, you know, I like to focus on one race at a time. That's definitely my mindset for sure. But yeah, you know, this is my first major champs. Definitely, you know, I run 1:59.3 now, which is Olympic qualifying time. So I really want to be. I feel like I should be in there with all of those girls that are running sub two. I'd obviously love to get to the semis. I'd love to get to the final. That's something that, you know, realistically could happen. It really depends on the day and on the race. Definitely I don't have loads of expectations going in, but I definitely, you know, have some that Luke and I will obviously chat about.
we'll leave that between you and Luke.
Yeah, definitely.
with that though, do you get confident just from being on a British team, the fact that the middle distance in this country is so strong right now? Do you get confidence just thinking, actually, if you're selected as an 800 or 1500 runner in a British team, then you are capable of making a final?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's crazy. Like, the depth that we have is obviously absolutely insane. You know, if you had like a open world championships, you know, it would be a lot of British runners in that final for like an open world championship, for example. So yeah, just being selected and put on that team in the first place is like a big step up for me. Really, like, it's very like validating, I suppose, in terms of my like achievements for the year and stuff. You know, everyone goes into the year being like, well, I want to make whatever major championships that is that year. And so it's great to almost have done that step for the first time. You know, I've never been on a big team like this before. But yeah, no, I mean, there's so many, like, you know, Katie Snowdon ran at 158 the other day at the Diamond League. So there's so much depth, it's unreal. So yeah, definitely just being on that British team is incredible in itself, let alone actually going to Worlds, competing against all the other countries and stuff.
For sure.
And you might get a PB, because fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. I think that would probably be the perfect outcome, you know, like to come away with like another Olympic standard it would have to be if it was going to be a personal best, because I was pretty bang on last week.
So it was the Olympic standard is 159.30, right?
Yes, and that is exactly what I ran last week.
How much did you pay that timekeeper? No, I'm joking.
that's why my reaction was so, like, I was so shocked, and like,
you knew it was the Olympics too.
Yeah, because it was just sort of like, well, you know, I saw that the guy in front of me had run 158, and I was like, oh, I think I've run 159 there. Like, I think I've got it. So I was just like, kind of like, I need to just wait, see what time comes up. You know, if it's a world champs queue, that's insanely great. I'm so happy. And then it came up as a little bit qualifying time. And Luke, I like, just by chance, Luke had said to me, like, the Tuesday beforehand, oh, what should celebration be if you run sub two? And I was like, I don't know, I'll just do something,
jump around,
and I just like screamed and like ran around because I was so shocked. But yeah, no, I was, yeah, I'm also so glad I didn't have an interview afterwards, because I was like on cloud nine. I was trying to run to get my phone. My phone wasn't in my, like, you know, the little boxes that you have, so I was like, I had to climb up three flights of stairs to get to my phone to call people and be like, oh my god. So yeah,
what does Luke say to you at that point? What was his first words to you on the phone, or did he drop you a text?
I just texted him like, what, you know, WTF.
Right, it's not, you know, family friendly, this podcast. You can swear.
You know, one of those things where I was just like, oh my gosh, and I called him, and he was like, I'm so happy for you, this is so amazing, like, you deserve this so much, like, go celebrate, like, do all these amazing things. Madrid was actually, I mean, you can kind of maybe hear it in my voice, I'm not sure if it will come across. Madrid was extremely dry, like the actual air, it was 32 degrees at 9:30 at night, and like, you know, it's slight altitude, it's nothing like that would affect anyone really too much, but the air was incredibly dry heat, and like, I had the worst cough for like about 2 hours. I was like coughing so much. So he was just laughing at me because I couldn't like say a sentence. I'd be like screaming on the phone, like, I can't believe this just happened. I'm so happy. And then I just like cough my guts up for a while. So you're gonna hear it in my voice still. But yeah, so yeah, it was a mix of emotions. I was like FaceTiming everyone. You know, obviously Sarah McDonald was there, Erin Wallace was there, like obviously a lot of the British girls were at London Diamond League, so there wasn't too many people around, but everyone was just like so happy for me, and that was just so nice. And obviously went on social media and that completely blew off, and everyone was like, I've been waiting for this all season, I've been watching you, and it was so nice. And I was honestly, I'm still on an adrenaline high from it, to be honest.
Well, that's it. Matt and I have been kind of waiting for you to run it so we can ask you on the podcast. We're like, well, we may as well wait till she runs sub two. So we'll,
yeah, perfect timing from you guys, you know. Yeah. World's announcements just come out, just run sub two.
We try.
Well, look, Izzy, thanks so much for chatting to us today. It's been brilliant.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me. It's nice to chat about all things athletics.
Thanks.